You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show as we look ahead to the final major of the year, the US PGA Championship. World number one Jason Day is the defending champion, having triumphed at this event 12 months ago.
To be able to walk up the 18th hole and finish the way I did, I mean, it was just a lot of emotion that came out of me, and it's good to be a major champion.
Will one of the big four win again this week, or will we see another first-time winner from the European Tour?
Close, and in! And in for Henrik Stenson. What a way to win the Open Championship.
Stay with us for a full and comprehensive preview of the US PGA Championship, as well as a look ahead to this week's European Tour event, the King's Cup in Thailand. Plus, we'll speak to newly crowned Senior Open champion, Paul Broadhurst. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Jamie Spence. Jamie, hi.
Hi, Rob.
Yeah, good to have you along. We'll preview the US PGA Championship shortly, but first to a stunning victory for England's Paul Broadhurst at the Senior Open Championship presented by Rolex. The 50-year-old shot a final round of 68 at Carnoustie to finish 11 under par, two clear of American Scott McCarron, and I'm delighted to say that Paul joins us right now, and I suspect there's a massive smile on your face, Paul.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, Rob, at the moment. You know, still sinking in, really. Incredible afternoon yesterday and, you know, probably going to be a possible life-changing experience. So, I'm looking forward to the future.
What was Saturday night like when you were contemplating all the things that could happen if you got this done?
It's quite strange, actually. I was hoping I might be in the second last group rather than the last group. I thought that might just take a little bit of pressure off being, you know, not being out with Jimenez and not having the big crowd and the TV cameras. But, it felt really good. I was pretty calm the first 15 holes, and then hold a nice putt on 15 to go one clear, and then the heart started pounding, and then it was hang on, really. But we just crossed the line, fortunately.
Extra special with your lad Sam on the bag, Brody. He's a golfer as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing pretty well, Jamie. He's over in the States on a golf scholarship. He's just got down to plus two and he's won the county championship. And it was great to have him on the bag. You know, he's caddied for me in a couple of majors before. And he was a real calming influence, to be honest. He was quite mature for his young 19 years of age.
So you're on the last tee. You've got the lead, but you've got that last hole to play. Were you thinking Jean van der Velde?
No.
Did it never, ever cross your mind?
I would be lying if I said no. Don't mess up, really, was my thought. It's obviously in my hands. I wasn't aware at the time that Scott McCarron had bogeyed. So I did think, I thought I was one shot clear of him and Jimenez. So tee shot at the last was vital. You know, it's a tough tee shot at any time, but I just put my best swing on it and absolutely murdered it down the fairway. Second shot wasn't so good. Bit of a chunky 5-iron, which was never going left. You know, once I got down there to the green, to the bunker, realised McCarron had made bogey and watched Jimenez knock his bunker shot long over the green, it certainly made life a little bit easier for me.
I bet it did. Now, you opened with a 75. I bet you were thinking about packing your bags, not winning that nice claret jug.
No, I put it terribly the first day. I didn't play too badly tee to green. I hit 15 green shots, three over. So, you know, I just got into a bit of trouble down number 7 on the left. It cost me a double. But I was playing nicely and I just wasn't making any putts. Even the second round, the front 9, I missed everything. And then just got on an unbelievable run on the back 9. You know, got home in 30, which set me up for the weekend, really.
When you turn 50 and you play seniors golf, you're never quite sure what's going to happen. You've hit it big time straight away. What does it mean for you going forward?
It's massive, absolutely massive. You know, I've played about 3 or 4 years in the Midland region on mini tours, just trying to keep my game in shape. So, you know, I've worked really hard on my game. You know, I've worked with a guy, Tim Rouse, on my long game, changed one or two things. Not necessarily notable on TV, but you know how the golf swing is. It's all about feel, and there's a different feel to the swing now. And feel a lot more in control. So, you know, it's massive. You know, I've obviously started really well and achieved my goal when I turned 50 of getting a card on the senior tour in the States.
You know, talking about that, Paul, you're going to be looking forward to that, but you're still going to come and play in some of our European events, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll still support the European tour. You know, that's That's where I've played all my golf, and I'm not going to desert them and rush off to the States. Obviously, I'm going to play a lot over there from now on, but I'll always come back and support the European Tour.
That's a wonderful thing. You've just done a wonderful thing. Well played. Senior Open champion for 2016.
Thanks very much, guys. Thank you.
Well, great to hear from Paul. And, you know, we spent many years out on tour with him. To have him turn 50 and do that, it's a sparkling result for him. And, yeah, looking forward to seeing how he progresses now, playing both the European Seniors Tour and the Champions Tour. It's going to be a rock and roll 4 or 5 years for Paul Broadhurst. OK, top 10, please. Jamie Spence.
Senior Open top 10 in ninth. Bernard Langer, Peter Fowler and Billy Andrade. In tied seventh were Joe Durant and Wes Short Jr. Fifth was Brant Jobe with a 66 last day. That always flies up the leaderboard. Tom Byram tied with him at joint fifth. Miguel Angel Jimenez, a disappointing 75 for Miguel. He finished third with Magnus Atlevi. In second was the long-putting Scott McCarron, and our winner, our champion, Paul Broadhurst.
OK, to the final major of the year now, the USPGA Championship at Baltusrol Golf Club in New Jersey. And, Jamie, it's always major number four, the USPGA, but it shouldn't be looked upon as the poor relation of the other three.
Absolutely not, Rob. And obviously it's coming a lot earlier in the season because of the Olympics. PGA, you know, in the 60s, used to back onto the Open Championship. You didn't know that, did you?
I didn't know that, actually. It used to be match play, I knew that.
So players had to choose which one they were going to play in. But not anymore. It's got its rightful place in the world of golf. Baldersroll, Mickelson won there last time. So, yeah, it's going to be a great week.
And I'm also delighted to say we're joined stateside by a golf author, broadcaster. He's syndicated everywhere from the US, Matt Adams. Matt, how are you?
I'm well, gents. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. So your thoughts on the final major of the year, where it stands for you?
I thought you guys started on the right notes with it, in that what I like about the PGA Championship is they don't get caught up in trying to use par or anything else as the standard. Set the golf course up, find iconic and classic venues, and let the players go out and do their thing. And whatever the final score is the final score. Whoever's lowest wins.
And Baltusrol is a test?
Oh, yeah. It's been major tested many times before at that. And I always think that great golf courses create great champions. And if you look at the list of those that have won there, including most recently, say, Phil Mickelson, but Jack Nicklaus has won there as well, it speaks to the virtues of the venue. And classic ones such as this, when they're kept up, they stand the test of time.
And Jamie, Jason Day goes there as defending champion. I, you know, it's always hard to defend an event when you get there, but it'll be the first time he's had a chance to do that at a major.
Yeah, he's had a good year, hasn't he? Won a few times. Majors, I don't know, he's just not quite got it going, really. He's not really got in contention. He got the wrong end of the draw, I think, as did Rory in the Open Championship. Yeah, be looking forward. There's a lot of good players at the moment. A lot of players playing well. Dustin Johnson, for me, is probably playing the best of them all. Interesting Baltusrol as well, Matt, with the two par fives to finish the course, 17 and 18.
Yeah, it's a little bit quirky, but I like what you just said about Dustin Johnson and his form, because I was wondering the same thing on my show the other day. Do we just operate on the presumption as if the Open never took place and he's going to reset himself because he's on a more traditional venue, American lush venue, if you please? So I just think it's interesting. Three first-time winners in the three majors that have taken place so far this year, and yet you don't hear a lot of talk about those gents in terms of favorites coming into the PGA Championship. We're defaulting back to one of the three. I'm talking about the other two. One of the three, and Dustin Johnson being the favorite for the PGA Championship. And is that balanced? Is that fair? I don't know.
Well, let's hear from the world number one, Jason Day. He says this week will be nothing like he's experienced before.
PGA is the first time I've ever defended a major championship, so try and soak up the experience of what that entails with regards to, you know, the start of the week going to, you know, the champion dinner and, you know, having to defend that and go to the media and the presser and all that stuff. So, yeah, but once Thursday comes around, you got to go out there and execute and play good. So, look, excited about that.
Do you get the feeling, Matt, that Jason really gets what it is to be sort of labelled, inverted commas, as a great player?
Yeah, I'm not 100% convinced, however, that he's totally comfortable with the definition, even though I think he fully realizes what it takes to do it now. But he's a guy that I don't think is as comfortable with building walls around himself as many of the great champions nowadays seem to have to do. Even Rory has done it to a certain extent. Even Jordan has done it to a certain extent. You get the sense with Jason that he doesn't quite have the same
walls built around him yet. He certainly has the talent. Of those three, I think it'd be a battle between, you know, Rory and Jason as to who has the most natural gifts across the board. And right now, when Jason's putting is on, which is more often than not, I would tend to give him the nod.
Same for you, Jamie?
I just look at Day. Last year, having not won the Open Championship, he had a putt to get in the playoff. He then went on a winning spree, didn't he? So that, when he went to Whistling Straits, he was full of confidence.
Started in Canada.
It started for him in Canada after the Open last year, and he just went on that winning spree, and his confidence was high, and he was just playing fantastic golf. I don't quite see that at the moment. So, and I think defending his championship, some good points Matt makes there as well, because that's not easy. A lot of pressure on him. So it's going to be a tough week for him.
What I find interesting, Matt, at the minute is watching, you know, each time Jason Day has his run or Dustin Johnson has his run or Rory or Jordan, they look unbeatable. And yet a couple of weeks later, they just fall off that edge a little bit and one of the others comes through and then the other guy looks unbeatable. It's very fluid.
It is. But, you know, Rob, you know this better than anybody as a player, that when one player wins in that week, we all quickly declare that, you know, Dustin Johnson is never going to lose again, or Henrik Stenson is never going to lose again. They're going to dominate the game forevermore. And we keep getting the messages from the players, from Rory and the rest, saying, you guys got to settle down. Just because I'm not winning every week doesn't mean that I'm in a slump. It's just that our standard has become so high, and these guys help set standard. That's the irony of the whole thing. So, yeah, I think that the flow and ebb is actually more reflective of the reality in the game of golf than it is that which we hope for.
I think that's a fair point, and I think, Jamie, Jordan Spieth has said exactly those words, you know, people comparing this season to last season, and largely it's unfair.
It is unfair. The thing for me, though, here, this PGA Championship's taking place 2 weeks after the Open, so if you've been out of form, it's tough to find your game straight. You need a couple of tournaments to get your game going again, really, if you're working on something. So therefore, I look towards the form players. I think you're right. Day's playing well enough. Rory's certainly playing well enough. And Stenson is, well, who knows after that victory at Troon where Henrik Stenson's game is going to be when he gets to Baldessarre. He's got to be full of confidence. I know he's looking forward to the Olympics as well. And Dustin Johnson, for me, has been the most consistent.
Matt, just from your point of view, what did you make of the duel between Mickelson and Stenson last round of the Open?
I've been trying to sort that because I had always thought that the duel in the sun at Turnberry was the greatest Sunday in major, maybe the greatest Saturday and Sunday, if you please, but certainly the greatest Sunday in major championship history was 65-66 by Watson and Nicklaus, and the next guy was 11 shots behind him. And ironically, the next guy was 11 shots behind him at Royal Troon as well. But given what they shot, given the fact that Phil Mickelson shot a 65, it was still beat by three, I tend to believe that we just witnessed the greatest Sunday in major championship history in head-to-head duels. What do you guys think?
I think for me, it was, it could have been the last two guys with that big gap back to third and fourth. They could have sort of played average golf and one of them would have won it. For both of them to go out and play their very best golf, I thought was extraordinary. Jamie?
You can say that, Rob. For me, Nicklaus and Watson, it's tough for me to get past that. That's what got me into playing golf seriously, watching Jack get out of those bushes at the last and hold that long putt. I just thought it was incredible. Let's think about the scores they shot with the equipment they were using as well,
well
on
Jack,
those golf courses.
Well, Jack
let's
said...
Not think, let's think about that.
Jack said... Well, I'll give you something to think about. Jack said, you know, I was fortunate to watch the whole final round of this year's Open Championship, and I watched Phil play one of the greatest final rounds I've ever seen in a major championship, but I just watched Henrik Stenson play the greatest final round that I've ever seen. And in comparisons to back to 77... Jack gives them the tick.
But that's Jack Nicklaus for you, isn't he?
Are you saying you don't believe him then?
No, he's not going to say, well, actually, that's not Jack. Jack's not going to say, well, actually, I think we were far greater than they were, is he? He's not going to say that because that's not the man he is.
Well, I'm just giving you the... That's what Jack put out
but
there.
I think you just need a bit of... Let the dust settle on this and we'll look back and you'll probably be right, but I'm a little bit of a sentimentalist,
but
Robert.
But nostalgia is always a great thing, isn't it?
Is,
you see those sort of grainy pictures and you look back and you think, well, it must have been better, but maybe it wasn't.
No, let's see.
Maybe in 20 years' time, people will talk about what we saw a few days ago.
Yeah, they will do, no doubt.
So what about Henrik Stenson then? Does he join the big four, the big five? Is he right in there?
Oh, yeah. Here's the cool thing about this. because of the fact that we have this Olympic season that has contracted everything and stuffed it all together, and that, as you noted, Rob, we have a, another major only 2 weeks after the last. If you get a player that's in form, and I would put that only to two players right now, because I wasn't really impressed with the way Danny Willett played at the Open. I was with him for every shot of the first two rounds and the coverage. He just, the thing that I thought he was off on was his putting, to tell you the truth. His blade was open and pushing everything to the right the entire time. He just wasn't closing it. But the form of Dustin Johnson and the form of Henrik Stenson, bearing in mind that Henrik plays the vast majority of his golf now in the United States, and he happens to live on a lush Florida golf course that he practices on all the time, we could see history this week again. We could have a third consecutive year where we have one player winning two major championships. It could be that kind of a week. That to me is one of the things that excites me the most.
Interesting point of view. We haven't really talked about Rory that much. Good final round in the Open, but didn't really get it going for the whole 4 days. What do you think he's going to bring this week?
Well, I followed him on the Friday, Thursday and Friday. He played well Thursday. Friday, I tell you what, that we walked down 13 in one of those squalls, and I walked Stenson in the morning. He hit 8-iron, a little 8-iron into 13.
Yeah.
Rory couldn't reach. None of his group could reach that green. So he really had it tough there for about an hour and a half, and I'm not surprised that players on that side of the draw struggled.
So you think he's coming in here in fine fettle?
Well, he finished fifth. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Is that a yes?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Good. And for you, Matt?
The thing about Rory that concerns me a little bit is that, yeah, he finished fifth. He had another high finish. He had another top 10, another top five. But he seems to, pardon me, because I know the players hate the term, he seems to backdoor it, where once he's out of touch with the lead and he really doesn't have a shot at winning the tournament, he goes out and fires a good final round. I'd like to see Rory play well when he needs to play well.
If he finds form, Dustin Johnson finds form, Spieth finds form, Stenson finds form, you've got to put this guy in there as well. He's already won at Baltusrol. Phil Mickelson must be really up for it after the performance. I know he lost out, Jamie, at the Open Championship, but he must be coming in here with a big chance.
Of course, it's just how has he got over that stunning defeat? I mean, to shoot 65,
well,
the way he's played.
He's not got much to get over.
No, well,
played his best golf and just one of those things.
Yeah, you're right. And it's a venue that obviously he's got fantastic memories of. Yeah, we'll wait to see. But his golf was fantastic all week. It was great to watch.
In your view, Matt, has Phil got another major in him?
I think it's a different Phil Mickelson now. I think he's got his arthritis managed through the medication, through his health, what he's choosing to eat, obviously through his fitness level. So, yeah, I do think that Phil Mickelson is capable of winning majors again.
And what about other Europeans, Jamie, that we've obviously mentioned top Europeans, but there's going to be a big contingent going across there.
Yeah, there always is, Robert. Sergio Garcia, again, he played well at Troon, but time's running out for Sergio. We love him to win a major, maybe this one on a sort of a regular, if you like, US PGA course, because Matt said they just sort of set it up and say, right, off you go, and winner takes all. So Sergio could have a good week, yeah. And Dan, as you're right about Danny, I like Danny to find a bit of form before he goes to Rio.
You're a big Sergio fan, Matt.
Yeah, how about, and I agree with everything that Jamie just said about Sergio too, that the question with Sergio is always, can he overcome the scar tissue and can he find his putting form? Because his ball striking is always good, and ball striking is important with the setup of a PGA championship. But I would also look towards Shane Lowry and saying that he's very much ready. If you look at where he won in the South course in Akron, it's a very similar golf course. Akron's going to have more elevation changes, but in terms of speed, in terms of how the golf course is set up with the type of grass and the rough and the lushness, the thickness of the same. I think Shane Lowry is one to keep a close eye on this week.
I'm going to bring up Lee Westwood. We talked about Sergio. You know, is it ever going to be Sergio's time? And the same question goes for Lee. He has played some good golf this year.
He has, yeah. Notably, I thought he was unlucky in the Masters. If it wasn't Danny, it would have probably been Lee. Let's say that. Yeah, he's not getting any younger, Lee, but he's capable of playing some fantastic golf on his day. It's is the putter going to work for him when he really needs it to work? And his chipping has improved. His bunker play has improved over the last few years since he's been living in the States. So, yeah, that putter's got to work, Rob.
We talked about some of the Europeans, some of the American. What about some of the world players? Adam Scott, Brandon Grace and Charles Schwartzel. After the PGA, Jamie, they've all got a week off.
Yeah. Good point, Rob. Yeah, they're not going for a holiday in Rio, are they?
They are not.
No, they're not. Adam was a little bit disappointing at Troon. Shorts will play pretty well. Grace, if my memory serves me right, didn't do so well, did he? But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if any of those. And you can add Louis Eustace and to that group as well. As far as I'm concerned, he's probably my favourite West of the World player, Louis, the way he swings it. So anyone, they're all class players.
It feels to me, I don't know about you, Matt, but like it's a very open. This is. I know there are favourites. You can look at. Probably, I think the joint favourites are Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, and Rory McIlroy. They're the three favourites at 8-1, and then the rest, it's very open.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Those are the odds that I saw as well. That those three were in there. I thought it was interesting the distance from them to Jordan Spieth, and then the distance from Jordan Spieth to the likes of Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson, and the rest of the lot. The one thing that we do know with 100% certainty is that the situation that we're going into this week has never happened before. We've never had these major championships in the modern era of golf right on top of each other. I'm excited about it for the variety of reasons in that, you know, in a normal season you have a major and 3 weeks, 4 weeks or more goes by and somebody, you know, the pot may have come off the boil. It doesn't seem like that's the case now. So not only do we have a very open PGA championship, as you noted, Robert, but we've got players that are in true form. I hope we see another whole tournament, at least another Sunday like we saw at Royal Troon.
Yeah, that would be what we're all looking forward to as golf fans. I know we're broadcasters, but we're all golf fans. So, Jamie, I'll give you two picks. You can have a European and a non-European.
Okay, well, my non-European will certainly be...
Dustin Johnson.
Yeah,
what a surprise.
Yeah, what a shock. Well, yeah, listen, I like to look outside the box at times, but when something's staring you in the face, okay. I'm sorry, I've got to take it.
He finished second in the Canadian, by the way, last night.
Yeah, I know he did. And I'm struggling to see past Stenson as my European pick. I really am. He's just banging form. What's wrong with his game? Nothing.
Nothing. Just fantastic. That's pretty two strong contenders, Matt. Beat that.
I'm going to say that Rory McIlroy is going to find his form with the flat stick and come back and win the PGA Championship again. So I'll say Rory McIlroy there, and then I'll pick a dark horse that will be Brandon Grace to break through in the major championship field. How about that?
That's pretty
cool.
What
about you, Robert?
I tell you what, for me, I'm like you with your first pick. I think it's... At some point, Rory's going to get off to a start. He's always, like you say, coming back from making mistakes. I think if he gets off to a start, I can see Rory winning another major championship. So I'm going for Rory as my homer. And my friendly foreigner is going to be Phil Mickelson. I can just see Phil on a course that he's played well on before and won on before, with the form that he showed in the last round at the Open, winning a sixth. It'd be six majors for Phil if he wins here. I don't think everyone realises that he's won five, Matt.
I mean, obviously, he's already in the World Golf Hall of Fame, but it certainly sends him up one more ledge on the cliff of all-time legends in the game.
Oh, Matt, it's tremendous to speak to you again, and hopefully we'll speak to you after the PGA Championship. But thanks once again for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show.
Thank you, gents. Have a great one.
Well, it's great to talk to Matt, as always. He always takes time to spend time with us on the Race to Dubai show. Now, you can check out the new improved Fantasy Race to Dubai game on the My European Tour section of europeantour.com. Get registered and your team selected ahead of the USPGA Championship. Well, of course, the USPGA Championship isn't the only event taking place this week, Jamie, because on the European Tour co-sanctioned event, the King's Cup at the Phoenix Gold Golf Club in Pattaya, Thailand. It's Asia and European Tour co-sanctioned. 90 of the field comprising players from both tours. Should be a bit of fun, actually. And it should be warm.
It'll be very warm, very humid. 7,000-yard par 70 golf course. So it's, as always, when you go to the far, especially in Thailand, where it's so hot and humid, it's coping with the conditions, not just the heat, but the different grasses you play on and putting on greens that you might not be used to.
But it used to be that the old adage was, when you went across to Asia, that the Asian players had a big advantage. But that really doesn't hold much water anymore because our players have travelled so much.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, we've been going over for years now, haven't we? So you do adapt. But again, it's not that easy. I think the Asian Tour players do still have that advantage, I believe, especially courses that they've played on a regular basis.
Who's playing? Give us a flavour.
Well, Trevor Immelman. past Masters champion. He sort of tops the shop, really. Liang Wenchong, the Chinese, I like watching him. He's another player who plays his own way. Very flat through the ball, isn't he?
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes you think he hasn't saved it and he can find the left edge of the green.
Yeah. Shaurasia, who's won early this year from India. Eddie Pepperell's going over, as is Scott Jameson and Seve Benson. Pelle Edberg has had a few couple of good years now, the Swede. Johan Edfors, who had a great time of it a few years ago as well. So, yeah, it's a mixture of players.
Big chance for somebody, isn't it?
Oh, huge, yeah. You know, someone's going to...
A lot of the big players are not there, so if you're going to take the time to go across there, make the journey and have a good week.
If you're trying to find your way into the world of golf...
Or back.
These are the events, really, you should target.
Yeah, definitely. Tip from you, please.
Well, I'm going to go for Carlos Pichem. Is that good pronunciation?
Yes, it's G in the middle.
Not bad.
Absolutely, not bad.
He won recently on the Asian Tour. Young Spanish golfer making his way in the world of golf. He's in form. I can't think of nobody else better suited for my tip.
I'm going to counter that. I must go for another European, surely. Let me have a look. I just can't find one that I think...
Simon Griffiths, what about him? Stanislaw Goya, he's a good player. He's a nice European player.
He's a good player, Tanner, you know.
He's a good player. He should do better.
He's got a lot of game in there. I don't know if he overcomplicates things sometimes, but he's got a, and he's won before. I'll go for Tanner Goya. There you go.
Well done, Rob. I talked you into that.
You did well done. I'm going to go for Tanner. Okay. But he is like one of the players we were trying to identify when you've fallen off it a little bit.
Yep.
And here is the fast track, straight back to where you want to be. You go out here and you win this.
Well, he won on the Sunshine Tour, Tanner, last year or year before.
So he's won on the European Tour before.
He won on the European Tour as well. He's a good player.
He is a very good player. So we'll see how that runs, that is for sure. Well, there's certainly lots to play for this week, Jamie, in terms of Race to Dubai points and Ryder Cup rankings. Tell us exactly how the Race to Dubai is standing right now.
Well, in 10th place, Sergio Garcia. Tyrrell Hatton's in 9. He's made a big jump recently. Lee Westwood in 8. Brandon Grace is 7th. Chris Wood, who had to withdraw, unfortunately, from the Open at 6. 5th, Louis Oosthuizen. 4th, Rafa Cabrera-Bao, having a great season. Rory's at 3. The Open champion is at 2, Henrik Stenson, and the Masters champion is at 1.
And, of course, Jamie, we're coming towards the end of July, then it's August, and then once you get to the cusp of September, it's all over in terms of Ryder Cup qualification. Who, at the minute, are the automatic 9?
Getting very close now, isn't it? European rankings, number 1, Rory McIlroy, 2, Danny Willett, 3, Henrik Stenson, and 4, Chris Wood. Then we go to 5 off the world list, which is Sergio Garcia, Rafa Cabrera-Bao, Justin Rose, Andy Sullivan, and last man in at the moment is Matthew Fitzpatrick.
And Jamie, please, the world rankings, top 10.
In 10th is Sergio Garcia, 9 is Danny Willett, 8 Adam Scott, Ricky Fowler in 7th, Bubba Watson in 6th, the Open champion is number 5, Rory McIlroy number 4, Jordan Spieth at 3, Dustin Johnson is 2nd, and Jason Day is still the number 1.
Number one and defending at the PGA Championship. Now, in other news, after his success at the BMW International Open in Germany, Henrik Stenson has been named Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Month for June. I suspect, though, July's all over as well in terms of Stenson.
Yes, he might get that one, mightn't he? Yeah, just about.
And on the PGA Tour, Jonathan Vegas shot a final round of 64 to win the RBC Canadian Open by one shot. The Venezuelan finished on 12 under par to claim his second tour title 5.5 years after his first one. And after coming through a loss of form and an injury and rehab, he's done awfully well. He lost out to Aaron Baddeley at the Barbasol a couple of weeks ago, and now he's got his victory.
Yeah, he has. Really good round for Vegas. He had to sit and sweat a bit on the 18th. Mm. A few guys challenging him down that last hole, that par 5, but he held on and... he said he's really looking forward to going to Rio now and representing his country.
I'm sure he'll be thrilled to go down to Rio and do that. That's absolutely right. Well, that's about all we got time for this week. Be sure to join us next week when we'll look back at the final major of the year, the USPGA Championship, and also review the King's Cup in Thailand. We will also preview the next event on the European Tour, the Paul Laurie Match Play in Scotland. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. Could there possibly be any more media content? So until next week, from Jamie Spence, who, by the way, this week has gone for...
Dustin Johnson and Henrik Stenson.
I'm countering that with Phil Mickelson and Rory McIlroy, and in the King's Cup...
Carlos Pichem.
And Tanner Goya for me. From me, Robert Lee, and Jamie Spence, it's goodbye.